Sam Farmer's on assignment.
Yep.
That's the voice of Josh Fligger and
so
Larry Morgan.
Have we actually started? This is ridiculous.
I guess.
Are you recording, Larry?
Well, I finally am. Yeah, you guys just jumped on. Like,
oh, God. Well, you didn't have any of that?
Andy yelled at me.
I just logged on. I finally got the Zoom link 2 minutes after two.
Yes.
Now, what, do we have to do it again?
No,
I don't know if it's going to feel the same.
Merry Christmas!
Fuel savings!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, you Christmas tree! Hey. Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Hey,
Merry Christmas to you, George, in jail. Being nursemaid to a bunch of garlic eaters.
Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
That's right.
You're a terrible young actress, but yes.
Oh, my God.
She's the worst.
Oh, no. Zuzu?
Yeah.
You asshole.
All right, we ready? Should I start
recording?
You
don't want us to recreate the entire movie, It's a Wonderful Life, for you?
We could do it. Oh, my God. We could do a made-up table read.
We forgot to print out the script, but we're pretty sure we know the whole thing from scratch, right? So let's do it.
And oh my God, how taxing would that be to listen to?
That should be our Christmas special next
week.
Very
special.
Yes.
And apparently you can be Mr. Potter, Josh, because you're being a humbug indeed.
I've only seen that movie like two or three times. I don't even know. I can't even remember any of the line. I don't know. I don't even.
It's the best.
It's okay.
It's the best.
It's the best.
Okay.
You're a communist.
When the
Charlie Brown Christmas.
People that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in. Tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Hey, Andy, guess what last night?
What did you watch last night?
And my daughter's Jug Band Christmas.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, we did.
Well, see,
that
if
one
I'm
out.
Now, you can't be picking on It's a Wonderful Life and talk about that piece of crap.
Oh, please,
come on.
River Bottom Nightmare Band.
What do you want to do, Spike?
Look at the birds up in the tree.
All right, now you guys have lost me completely.
Two movies. We did the
Don't
best two Christmas
give
movies.
Give a crap.
We should do an Emma Daughter's script read. That'd be a good one.
Do you have mashed potatoes? Why, sure. Everybody's welcome at the Frog Bottom Inn.
Oh, boy.
It's the best. We watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer the other
day.
Yeah,
I got to get that DVR. That's coming up
And Frosty was last week sometime. Frosty sucks.
Yeah, I don't like it. Owen likes
it. Yeah, Frosty's is somewhere in that middle ground between like the classics of Rudolph with the, I mean, as goofy as
it came in at the tail end of that.
Yeah, it's all cartoony and a little too modern, and the story's stupid.
Yeah,
he put the hat on. He's like, "Merry or Happy Birthday!" It's a tired dipshit.
Yeah. I mean, in the same way that people are starting to now kind of reassess how problematic Forrest Gump was. Same thing with Frosty. You know what I'm saying?
I think we can officially make the decision that Frosty the Snowman is the dipshit of Christmas, right?
Yeah.
He's the dipshit of Christmas. That might be the name.
I guess maybe we're bringing this out in the open because I never hear anybody go, "Man, I love Frosty the Snowman. He's so cool." Like, nobody ever says that. So maybe everybody just thinks he's a dipshit.
Yeah, nobody's ever said, "You know what, my favorite holiday special?" Nobody said Frosty. I think they watch it by default just because it's
on. They put it on TV and then they go to like do the dishes in the kitchen.
They usually pair up like Rudolph and Frosty,
right.
I think. And I think they even did. There's something in my memory that says there's a terrible special that paired up Rudolph and Frosty. Is it possible
isn't there two Frosties though? Like two Frosty specials?
Here it is. I found it. Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July.
Oh,
fuck you.
Jesus Christ.
Just fuck you.
That shit should be buried.
That's not going to work. First of all, what's the point of his red nose in the summertime? And by the way, how are you going to keep Frosty around when it's sun? You know, forget it.
Melty the snowman.
No, Jesus.
It's total bullshit. I'll tell you what, I've when I was a kid, I watched them, but I think we've talked about this. The Peanuts specials.
I just bought it on DVD, so I never have to go through the
You are treading on really thin ice, Andy, if you're going to start picking up on the Peanuts specials.
Let's not start this.
Does
anybody know the meaning of Christmas? Does anybody know? I can't take the horse shit anymore.
What's wrong with you? Now, that's just...
I just can't take it anymore.
I can see clearly where all our differences lie.
You think this is bad... You should try watching the Thanksgiving Snoopy special. It's a piece of shit.
That one's not good.
That should just be like wiped out of the earth. That should be like, you know, like the first Star Wars remake.
That came much later, and it was a whole bunch of different kids' voices, and they threw in all this slapstick with Woodstock. I mean, I love Woodstock as a character, but the way they tried to make that work. I mean, it is clearly the one where Peppermint Patty came out to the rest of the group, but for that,
I can't
it was
fucking believe that we're breaking up into discussion groups to talk about Peanuts.
Well, we're all at different odds on this. I mean, we see that this is the quintessential differences between the three of us. Andy despising the Peanuts, me not into the otter. Piece of crap jug band thing, and Josh with his disdain for It's a Wonderful, or just
not disdain, it's just
ambivalence to It's a Wonderful Life. I think you can start to kind of get a sense of our personalities
Merry Christmas, everybody.
By the Thanksgiving episode, somebody should have pulled Pigpen aside and been like, dude,
you've got a hygiene
there's
problem.
A visible amount of grossness around you, and we all see it, and you're here all the time. Can you maybe do something? And if he says no, they just hold him down and hose him off.
Well, just let's go see the squalor that his parents
the
parents? We should take him away from his parents.
Well, child services should definitely have gotten involved. You know, a knock on the door. And then there's a drunken fight off to the on the corners of the frame.
Your dish is breaking.
Yeah, there's like a bottle of Jack rolls by, and Pigpen standing there going, is it my fault?
I would just tell you that whenever we've been listening to a lot of holiday music,
I want to see that special. Right? That's the Peanut special I want to see.
See if you get somebody to animate that for you. Whenever the Christmas time, the Vince Guaraldi Christmas time,
good.
And whenever that starts, Laura, I can just hear from whatever room she's in. Ugh. Just completely over.
As soon as I hear that, I guarantee for the next at least 5 days, I'll just randomly break that song out full blast in my house. So good.
I love that stuff. That Vince Guaraldi stuff is my favorite. If you really want to hear some real bah humbuggery, here is, let's see, this is a post from today, as we speak, from Instagram. The caption reads, 2020 didn't steal our Nutcracker tradition. Apparently, it's the only live Nutcracker performance in Southern California. Other than the obligatory snide comments from my husband about a parking lot ballet, it was delightful. I should mention that's attributed to Laura Chandler.
Parking lot ballet.
Okay. So Busted. Let's just get this out.
Busted.
Let's get this out. Let's bring this out. So we go. Laura finds a Nutcracker performance in Pasadena at the Mission Playhouse, whatever there. And she finds this. It's an outdoor drive-in performance. You drive in and you stay in your car.
Right.
And
we understand the concept of the drive-in, Andy, but thank you.
Tell me more of this.
You don't
drive in.
What is this drive-in?
Am I saying it right? Drive-in?
Drive-in? Okay, go ahead.
You're such dicks. Well, at the 88.5 drive-in concerts, you get out of your car and you have an open space to the left of your car where you lounge, you assholes. But no, this you maintain, everybody stays inside the vehicle.
Yeah.
And actually, in the material on the website, it says that you go in and you tune your radio to 88.5 FM.
Oh,
and
no.
Wait a minute.
Are you simulcasting the concert?
I think that's a frequency that's being used right now.
So is this just a typo?
I don't know. Well, because here's the thing.
They could have maybe, did you do it?
Maybe someone told them that's a bad idea, or it's completely illegal. That using a low power FM thing and putting it on 80, I guess it's a popular signal for people to do that around the country. Anywho,
well, wait a second.
They aren't using it. There's just a loudspeaker and people have their windows down. So anyway, so that's number one, right? Already I'm like, wait, you're going to do this on what frequency?
Well, I guess it's because there's not a lot of conflict since you lose the signal about four blocks from the
eat a dick.
but isn't there like, do you remember when they used to, for like... What was it? It was like for iPods, you could like hijack your radio signal from your iPod and put it into like a tape thing so that you could wirelessly play into your car stereo. Do you remember those little devices?
What?
Yeah, it was like this. It was like when iPods first came out, you could plug this device in, right? And then like tune your radio, plug the device into your iPad or iPod, and then tune your radio to, it would tell you like three different settings. And you could tune into your iPod through your radio because they were right beside each other. They worked like shit because I had one and it never worked. But it was a wireless way to connect.
Oh, to before your radio. There were connections in your car.
Yes, yes. Before
I see.
Bluetooth That's, and everything.
I do. Yeah, that I remember. That was.
Well, I was just wondering if it was something like that. Maybe if they just did it so low powered that it would only work within like 100 feet or something.
That's the concept. I mean, I think they use that for actual drive-in movies where
here's what I think. Yeah. I think you guys don't fucking know. Okay. Maybe somebody wants to go to a movie and listen to 88.5 FM yeah, as the soundtrack exactly, to it
exactly. instead of the dialogue of the film. Yeah, makes sense.
Anyway, you digress. Yeah. Can I continue with my story?
Please.
We go to this ballet. And we pull into the space. It takes forever for them to let us in there. They have this little box with little finger sandwiches in there.
Ooh.
And they hand us a bottle of iced tea. So it's a tea. It's a, sugar plum tea kind of setup is the idea.
Oh, fancy.
And a little bit of fruit in there and a couple of pieces of chocolate or whatever. So that, the kids are there, we're there, and we're watching this thing. They start. And it's people are gathered like in a semicircle. The cars are all, gathered in a semicircle pointing towards this stage, which is basically a series of easy up tents. It's like one of those big long tents, like a carport where you'd, park like three cars in a row or something with the front gone. And then the set was made up with, some Christmas trees and so forth. Anywho, they start dancing and they come out and they do this stuff. Well, shortly after the first movement of the Nutcracker, and it's a condensed to 1 hour Nutcracker, because how much of this shit do you want to watch sitting in your car?
Thank God.
The only kind of Nutcracker you should be able to watch.
So we're sitting there and they finish the first one. I hear people start to honk. I'm thinking, what the fuck's going on here? And so I'm like, oh, that's the applause. Right, that's how people are showing their appreciation for this with the honking. And at one point, they come out and it's these two, everybody in there is wearing masks. All of the dancers are wearing masks, right, as they dance. Which is weird. Which looks great on everybody except for the Arabian dancers when it comes time for them, because it kind of goes with it. It looks like they're wearing their veil. But the rest of them, it's just 2020, and you're realizing this is kind of surreal. But out comes the Sugar Plum Fairy And who does she dance with? Who's the character that she dances with?
You know, you're asking us.
Some homeless guy that stumbled onto the set pushing a cart.
Well, we'll get to that.
But she's
really? This husband and wife are out there dancing, doing the central characters, you know, the Sugar Plum Fairy. And I can't remember the character's name. Anyway, somebody will remind me next week. Anywho, they're out there dancing. And I come to realize, holy shit, they're good. And sure enough, they went to La Scala. And that's where they got some of their training. Hey, hold please. And we're back.
Right. Wow.
So the air conditioner guy is here. Wonderfully enough, I just realized as we sat down that I've scheduled the air conditioning checkup for fall between right at this time.
It's great.
It's funny. Anywho, so where was I? Okay, so these dancers, they trained at La Scala, right in Milan, Italy, the famed opera house. And they're out there dancing, and I come to realize, oh my God, these guys are great. They're fantastic. This is the best Sugar Plum Fairy I've seen in a Nutcracker ever. And
how many Nutcrackers have you been to?
I don't know, half dozen.
Wow.
Anywho, so and then at the end of their dance, people start. I'm just thinking, how gratified must they be? This is the pinnacle of our career, honey. Yeah, I know we studied in the famed La Scala Opera House and did ballet there, but here we are having people honk at us in a Pasadena parking lot.
We did it.
You done it. Congratulations, you done it. So, and then, of course, the, what's the little princess or her name? She comes.
Why do you keep asking us for characters' names? Yes.
She's to come out in, if anyone is even slightly familiar with the Nutcracker, she, you know, has her little tour of, when she goes to sleep, she has her tour of the different kingdoms and sees all of the different dancers from all the different kingdoms. Well, they bring her out in this, it's supposed to be a sleigh, I think, but it just kind of looks like an oversized shopping cart being pushed across the parking spaces in this parking lot. And so I'm laughing at that. Laura starts laughing and she's mad at me for making her laugh about it. And we watched the entire thing, but it was just, you know, I'm like, yeah, nothing says Christmas like rolling over the cigarette butts in a parking lot. But those dancers were amazing, and hats off to them, as you said in the Instagram post, Larry. Hats off to them, the only ones in Southern California doing an in-person live Nutcracker this year, and wouldn't you know, Laura would be able to suss that out.
She's got a sixth sense for finding those, man.
She just knows.
Yeah.
Where can I go to blow $200 and sit in our car to watch people get honked at when they did. She found it.
Well, the tradition is alive. So Merry Christmas, one and all.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, there's something I want to ask you about, though. Right. And I should have said it right at the beginning when we did the song this time. But last week, you had said at the top of the show, you kind of laughed after the song. And you said, wow, I forgot the words to it.
Uh-huh. Did I? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, as I was putting the thing together last week, I did listen to it. And I take each of the tracks, you know, your audio that you record, Larry's audio, and I take it out separately and, you know, and I master that audio separately so that it's the best it can be. Take the noise out of it and so forth. Well, I did hear your track. Isolated from the rest. Would it hurt your feelings if we played that back?
No, I would love to because I don't. The situation was one of those things where I started thinking about something else, and my mouth was going with the song, but I was thinking about something else. So I don't even. I know I screwed up, but I don't know what I did. I just remember being like, I'm in the middle of a song. I should start singing again. You know. Like,
well, yeah, it's gonna be entertaining for all then, Josh, because. Here is what you did.
When that you know don't like you. and your friends should run out of that too. Tune in to podcast where your artificial friends. I forgot the words.
Yep. Sure did.
Yeah. You think?
I sound like I'm drunk.
That's what I was going to say is that yeah. there are a couple like of moments in there that definitely feel.
When?
That's because I'm thinking
that
in my head.
No, don't like you.
All right. That, here's the problem.
Well, yeah, that too.
That's
your Frenchers,
yada yada too. Yeah, yeah, that too.
Your Frenchers?
I don't know.
In fact, all I can do is flash on the Delta House singing Louie Louie in that scene where they're all just kind of going back. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, some of my best moments right there.
That was really nice. Yeah. Okay, so we've got some phone calls to get to, and maybe there's a letter to me this week?
I have to tell you this, you guys. Just this little story. I mean, when it happened, I still can't believe it happened. So, I got you know those Ready Whip containers, you know the whipped cream stuff.
Yeah, sure. That you huff off of
yeah,
all the
well,
time.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah, when the people that you know, when. Well, I got one of those for Thanksgiving because we got a pie, and I only ate like one piece of the pie, so I literally only had one use out of this Ready Whip whipped cream container. So I think this was either Thursday or Friday. It was in the door of the refrigerator, okay? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. We've got so many effing sauces and dressings and everything. That shit just, I mean, you gotta like, every 2 weeks you gotta go through there and just throw out all these stupid dressings that we tried one time and hated. But yeah, we put it back in the refrigerator. So it's just filled up with that. And then somehow this whipped cream container got like laid on top of them, all right? Like it was just sitting there at the side. So I go down and I open up my refrigerator to get something. And what had happened is the last person that used the refrigerator closed the door. And as it was, this is the only way I could figure out what happened. Now, this is the only way that I can think what happened. I don't know what happened, but this is what I think would happen. And when it closed, as it was about to close, the container fell off. Then the nozzle got stuck in between the shelf and the little door holder thing. Uh-huh. And then when the door got pushed, it angled the container. So I got a brand effing new Ready Whip container launch, all of its juice, its entire container of foam into my refrigerator. I opened it up and it was just this big white of whipped cream, and I'm standing there looking at it, and I'm like, Cindy, I'm like, you gotta see this. I couldn't believe it. I was in shock. But yeah, that's the kind of week I had right there. Yeah.
It would have been a better story if it had just hit you in the crotch. That's the only yeah. element that's yeah. missing from
and
there.
And the neighbors had seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Cindy came around the corner and punched me in the balls. So that happened.
Amazing.
That is bizarre. And that CSI you had to do on it to try and figure out how the hell that happened.
Well, because I opened it and it fell down. You know what I mean? Like, so I knew it was like suspended there somehow, but I'm like, how does this? And it was just, it was everywhere. Like the whole bottom half of my refrigerator was covered in white whipped cream.
Did you know it immediately or did you come back to it later?
That's what I'm saying. Next time I opened up the garage, the refrigerator door. So I don't know when this happened, but it happened at some point in time, obviously.
So Amazing. You scooped it up to save it for later, obviously.
Tupperware.
Not going to waste that Ready Whip, man.
Just scooping it up with my hands and throwing it in bowls.
I had my own toxic spill just earlier, actually. Nowhere near as interesting as yours, just plain buffoonery. But I made a protein shake for lunch because I was going to be super healthy today. And I don't make them real like icy. I make them more drinkable and just kind of down them. And I went in the bedroom. I was going to make the bed real quick. And I was the last one out. Last one out makes a bed. So I put it on my nightstand right next to me. I'm making stuff up. And I just, it was just like a little stumble kind of thing. And I like kneed the bedside table that the glass was on. And it just managed to not only empty the contents of a full glass of protein shake, but just the arterial spray, the number of objects and fabrics and walls and into the plug and all of soaking the carpet, the full thing. The bedside table had stuff dripping on it. My phone charger cord is like, I mean, it's just like, I kept just like picking things up and going, I don't know how to start. Do I sop up the trash? I mean, I can't pick anything up because it's dripping on something else. And I feel like I'm going to find protein shake for like months.
Those kind of accidents are just something like that could seriously ruin like your whole week.
No, I'm still angry about it just because it was so dumb and so simple, but so destructive in one dumb stumble.
Here's the thing. I would have been laughing at that.
Oh, I totally
all the way through that story. I would have as well. But this is weird. The exact same fucking thing happened to me last night.
What? Oh.
Yes. But worse.
Ooh.
Because I go in, it's, you know, I don't get a lot of sleep, number one. I'm tired. And then it gets to be 10 o'clock at night, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Maybe I get an hour to spend with Lara, you know, we watch a TV show together or something like that. And I go in, I sit down on the bed, and I brought a glass of red wine. And I brought, specifically, I bring one of those, you know, like teardrop short, you know, with the stemless glasses of wine. Because I'm like, I don't want to, you know, knock over a glass of wine in my bedroom. That'd be fucking horrible. Go in there. I set that on my nightstand. I get into bed, get comfortable, and then reach over to grab it. And, you know, the headboard's right here, so your elbow can't, like, come back to reach over. And you got to, like, reach. And so my arm is too long, and with the top of my hand, I hit the glass, and it just weeble wobbles for a second, and then, bloop, completely over, lands on the fucking floor, splashes up on the upholstered
hardwood floors. So like
no carpet carpet
God. Oh great.
On the splashes up on the upholstered recliner and up on the cloth drapes about 2 feet up those across the room 4 feet and up on the wall and then obviously a bucket of fucking wine it looks like the Red Wedding happened right in my bedroom where there's this 2 foot by 2 foot red splotch and I'm like fuck
and the worst part about all this too is the timing of it because you were just about to lay down and just relax and now you gotta fucking get up
the next hour
Yeah,
that was going to be chilling, basically, with your girl.
Steam cleaning.
Scrubbing and steaming and pouring club soda and trying to find the... Yeah, exactly.
So I take the curtains down. I take the whole panel down and go out and throw it in the laundry. And my house shoes, my new slippers. I haven't owned house shoes in 40 years, and I get a new pair of them, and I'm like, fuck, they're just covered in red wine. So I get those. Those are covered. And then I go and I get some paper towels to get, you know, the bulk of it up, and then a wet towel to wipe up the walls and get it off the, you know. And then I go and I get one of those big, like, I don't know, a pint or so of hydrogen peroxide.
Yep.
And I just dump that shit all over the floor and do the OxyClean business to it. It took like half hour.
Yeah.
Like you to your point.
About the time that I ruined my one quarter of my 1990 Toyota Camry from Tommy Burger. I just destroyed a quarter of my car with Tommy Burger. It was like
just the remnant juices.
Oh,
from
no,
that.
Okay. This is when I first, it was like the first month or two that I lived here. And we lived in North Hollywood and I worked at Nielsen and that was down in it was in the same building the sound was. And I worked afternoons on Saturday up until like 1 or 2 o'clock. And I would get home and I just remember being like, we were going to party that night. I was all excited. We're going to go out and do something. I can't remember, but I was like, I'm fucking starved. I'm stopping at this Tommy Burger. I'm going to get a chili cheeseburger, a chili dog, and I'm getting a giant soda. So that's what I get. I get their big. Now, if the people listening, if you never had a Tommy burger, they're just these greasy, chili, cheesy burgers, and same with the hot dogs. And I at the time, I got one of those mega gigantic McDonald's containers of A&W root beer.
Oh, God.
Okay. Now, my car didn't have anywhere to put it. And mind you, I was only like a quarter mile away from my house. So I stick it on the passenger seat and it comes in a box, right? So I didn't really have to worry much about it flying around. Well, at least I thought. So I come flying down this road that I had never been before because I don't even know why. I just never been down this road. And it was one of those roads where there's no traffic on. So I was going excessively fast. And sure enough, I hit this three-way intersection and there's a stop sign that is covered by a branch of a tree. So you don't see it until you're about 25 feet away from it. Right. And I should have just went through the stop sign and I lock up my brakes. The root beer goes and the burgers, the hot dog and the root beer go flying, hit my dashboard and just explode like a grenade. I mean, it was like one of those 50-ounce drinks. I didn't even have to take a sip out of it. And it just exploded. And there was just this mushroom cloud of A&W and hot dog wieners are flying through the air. And sausage, okay. Sausage is just, or, you know, chili's just smeared across my windshield like a murder scene. And then like when I settled down, it was like dripping from the ceiling and I just looked in the passenger side, like the wheel well, and it was just this brown concoction of just greasy chili fast food and A&W. And I wanted to cry.
Here's the thing about that. Chili cheeseburger, mm-hmm. A chili cheese hot dog.
Yep.
And a 50-ounce root beer, yeah. That stop sign might have saved your life.
I was like 23. I could eat anything back then.
Bulletproof.
That was probably when that was like my only meal of the day, too.
Yeah, that was whenever I got, because I went to USC and going to Tommy's is a major tradition, the original at Beverly and Rampart. Mm-hmm. And I remember in hindsight to always eat there, never bring it home, because no matter if it never touches fabric or anything, the scent lingers. And I'm thinking, if it does that as an aerosol, what's it doing to my body inside, the actual solid waste? And then I would eventually, within a few hours, figure out what it was doing inside, because it was not pretty.
If I ate anything like what I would eat after a night of partying when I was about 25, I would instantly die. I would just die right wherever I was. Like some of that stuff you eat at like 3 a.m.
There was actually a Christmas tradition up until about 4 or 5 years ago where Alex, when he would come home from college or wherever, but even when he was in high school, we went to Tommy's like a day or two after Christmas while, you know, everybody was on break. And we did that up until maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And until the last time we did it, we looked at each other and said, we just can't do this anymore. Yeah, this is the worst tradition ever.
I tell you what, this is a really good, oddly enough, a good segue into our phone calls.
All right.
And I think you'll see, I mean, because I just see the first sentence of the transcription here, and that's all the more detail I get about it before I play it.
Let's do it.
But I think this fits in with what you're talking about. Let's see. By the way, the YAF line, should you want to call it, is 626-657-6428 or OAMUCKPMHAT. This first call here is from the 559 area code. Let's have a listen.
This is Steven, the chili bean king of the San Joaquin, Fresno, California. Hey, calling about your gutter gate. I agree with low energy Mike. Continuous steel gutters on your, what they call, actually, the fascia. It's fascia, not fascia.
Oh.
You're not gold member Mike Myers. But the steel continuous steel rain gutter is the best way to go. And when I did mine, it was probably 20 years ago, probably cost me $300 to go around the entire house. now, with inflation now, it's probably $800-$900 for the same length around my home, but could be $1,000 down in the L.A. county. But yeah, that's the best way to do it is continuous steel. And they roll it out like a giant roll of bubble gum tape. And then they form it in this jig. And then they just roll it. They probably two or three guys on scaffolding and one guy on the roll feeding it to them. And the rest of the guys on the scaffolding is chewing up the bubble gum. But that's the best way to do it. Good luck on your fascia, Andy.
Good luck on your fascia, Andy.
Well, that was... Steven, the Chili Bean King of the San Joaquin.
All right. Had nothing to do with what we were talking about.
Is that an elected position or is it an honorary title? Or?
No, I think that's royal lineage. I think you're born into that. Into
it's
that.
Conferred unto you.
Hey, I
think he's right. I think I am going to surround my house in bubblegum.
Well, I also think that he's only partially right. It turns out while that call was going on, which was interminably long. I went and looked up the disputed word, and it turns out you're both wrong, but you're both partially right. The word is pronounced both with a fa, with a long A and a short A. You could do it both ways, a fa and a fe, but the second part of the word is what you're screwing up. It is a shia, not sha.
Fascia.
So it is fascia or fascia.
I'm going with fascia.
It's fascia?
Fascia.
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 Fascia. Fascia. Fascia.
Which also is what they call a detachable covering for the front part of a mobile phone.
I thought you were going to say detachable penis. I swear to God, I thought you were going to.
Why would I? Why would I say that?
I just thought maybe you had a King missile hankering all of a sudden. All right, you guys ready for it? We got one more phone call here.
All right.
Let's go with this.
Gentlemen, in your last episode, you guys were discussing road trips and different places you guys have been on the road. Just last year, my wife and I flew to Missouri, Springfield, to be specific, to go meet a sister I never knew I had. Oh, the wonders of DNA tests.
Yeah.
Period. But on the way back, we ran into a town called, are you ready for this? Tightwad, Missouri. That's right. There is a town in Missouri in between Springfield and Kansas City called Tightwad, Missouri. They have a Tightwad convenience store. There's even a Tightwad bank. The Tightwad convenience store lived up to its name because I went in to use the restroom. They wouldn't let me. So there's that. All right. So if you're ever in Missouri, go ahead and stop off at beautiful Tightwad. Have a good one.
Tightwad. That's fantastic.
Welcome to Tightwad.
I'm looking at it right now. A village in Henry County, Missouri. Its population in 2010, according to that census, was 64 brave souls.
Wow. Wow. You know, but I played a song, by the way. Thank you for your call, by the way, there. I played a song on the 60s at 6 this last week. Big Iron by Marty Robbins. You know, the guy that did El Paso?
Sure.
Down in El Paso. You heard the song Big Iron before? He had a big iron on his hip. A big iron on his hip. Yeah. the song begins with, it was down in Agua Fria, which is a town in New Mexico, Agua Fria. And I looked that up just to see what Agua Fria was about, which means cold water.
Cold water, right. Spanish,
wow. Yeah. And it says in Wikipedia, Agua Fria is a populated place. That's like the best they can say. Not a metropolitan area. Not a town, a city, a village. It's a populated place where
there are
life forms that we've scanned and found. That was damning with faint praise.
I like this story. Tightwad apparently got its name from an episode in which a store owner cheated a customer by charging him an extra 50 cents for a better watermelon.
What?
How would you like that to be your city's history?
Yeah. And imagine that city council meeting where it's like, well, somebody said we're a bunch of tightwads. Well, they're not wrong.
What about the statue out front of the courthouse? Like some guy holding a watermelon, shaking his finger, going, no.
I say we wear this like a red letter and call the place tightwad. What the hell? Wow. That's great. It's pretty fantastic. Did you have any letters to get to in the Yaff sack? Was there any viewer mail?
The sack is very skimpy this
light
week.
Sack?
It's a skimpy sack. But we did get a note from Carrie and Dale. Carrie from Vacaville, thanks for listening to your artificial friends, who was asking about visiting family in Orange County, and they wanted to preset their radio for their favorite stations. And she says, I have Coast, Larry, correct? No! No! Bad girl! Bad Carrie! It is actually K-Earth, Carrie. K-Earth 101.1 FM. And need to figure out what channel I can preset for 88.5 in Huntington Beach. My family says they can't get your station there.
Go to the Pasadena Mission Playhouse, the parking lot there. Tune to 88.5.
Hey, Carrie, there is an app for that.
There is an app for that, and I highly advise it. That's the thing about unless you got a blowtorch like Larry does, 50,000. You guys 50,000 watts?
Oh, K-Earth? Yeah. 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 Well, you know, 50, 51, whatever it takes.
If you don't have a big signal like great that, movie. Then, and also we're a simulcast, we're two different signals. So you don't, you know, where they overlap, it creates issues and so forth. So they can't be that huge. Anyway, and there are mountains and such. So get the app. It's 88.5 FM. SoCal, you can find it on any app store, and it's that round orange logo with the 88.5 on it. But the app's pretty dang good, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. I enjoy it. And if you do want to email us with any thoughts, we went from feast to famine here in the Yaff Sack. So it's yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. Feel free to drop us a line.
I've got a little news for you. Oh. Number one, I should say it again. The phone number is 626-657-6428, or OAMUCKPMHAT if you want to call that again. But the Yaff Crap store, yaffcrap.com.
Yeah.
I noticed a couple of mugs being picked up this last week. People doing some stocking stuffing.
Nice. Absolutely. Well, it is the gift that keeps on giving, whatever that means. I mean,
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year long.
This has just been an entire episode of Andy Impressions, isn't it really?
We watched half of it last night, and it got to be close to midnight. We both fell asleep.
And then you had to clean up the wine, so you feel like watching.
Knocked a jug of wine.
Yeah, we would have gotten through it.
Across the carpet.
I just realized, Larry, last night, watching the thing, and I'm like, that opening song, In the Christmas Vacation, da 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 da. It's Mavis Staples.
Oh, I saw you post something about that. Yeah.
Mavis Staples sings that. Yeah. I had no idea before this year. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. But that movie is, I've said it before, it is the I Ching of tasteless holiday movies. Lara and I have so many parts of our vocabulary, of our lexicon, are from that movie. Shitter's full. Yep. Bend over, I'll show you. Hey, Clark, if you're not doing anything constructive, fetch me my stogies. They want you to say the blessing.
Again, so what's that, like the seventh one? We gotta list these depressions. Yeah,
we should just all recreate all of our favorite Christmas movies and specials.
Right? That's what I did in
Santa,
like 19.
I know him.
1997.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker!
There we go.
It is technically a Christmas movie.
yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker!
Well, yippee-ki-yay to you, George, in jail.
In jail.
Yippee-ki-yay to you, Mr. Nakatomi.
Hey,
it's a wonderful day to die hard.
We have to, is next week going to be the Christmas episode?
Next week will be the Christmas Eve episode. Fall on,
if it gets posted correctly, but.
So could be the Christmas Day episode. Yeah, exactly. We don't know.
Well, it'll be the Christmas
Could be
time.
The Boxing Day episode. You don't know.
Now, we have talked about doing, remember, we did Christmas in July when we did our favorite Christmas songs.
Sincere Christmas songs.
Yes. And even though we've been basically 50% shitting on Christmas stuff today, do we want to do the Christmas songs that annoy us? It's kind of become a tradition.
It's been a thing. Yeah. I think we should.
Did we already do this last year?
We talked about it. We have not done...
We played some ridiculous Christmas songs.
Because I know the ones that I hate, but I don't want to repeat. I can't remember. I don't if we did it.
We didn't play any because we didn't have this situation set up. We just talked about it. We have done it.
I thought I played you the Tex Beneke Jingle Bells version where they go, down in Mexico, we have got no snow.
Yeah, you might
have
played it off your phone. You're right. But we didn't get the chance. We didn't do it formally.
We didn't do this. Right. Well, then we should do this.
All right, I'm in.
And if you remember what you picked last time, let's pick two different ones, but it's, you know, it's okay.
I know which two I hate.
Christmas time.
I love that.
Stop it.
You.
Stop
All
it.
Right. Yeah, don't.
Yeah, just pick those two, and we'll have the Christmas songs that annoy the crap out of us next week for just in time for the holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
It actually comes at the perfect time because Christmas Eve is right about the time you are sick of freaking Christmas music.
And, you know how much these songs annoy me. Just I was thinking about them right now, and I just went, ugh.
Yeah.
These two songs.
Oh wow!
I just hate, and it's. I hear them every year, and I say to them, like whoever's closest to me, I'm like, I hate this. It's like one of those where I announce I hate it every single time I hear it.
I got to tell you, somebody asked me to put together a Christmas playlist, and I did, and like lots of songs in it. As a matter of fact, I got to the point yesterday. I was like, "How many songs do I have in here?" And it said 666.
Holy hell.
I'm like, "Jeez, I think I got to put one more in just to make sure we get off the 666." I'm an atheist,
Christmas list.
That seemed like a real finger,
a little
there,
too so. On the nose. Yeah.
But I've come across some new classics this year that I'm like, you know, sincerely like.
All right.
That's all I had to say about that.
Enjoy them, Andy.
Yeah, don't feel, please don't give us any examples or anything. It's fine.
Can you list 666 of them?
I will tell you. Well, I've already told you that, I think, well, maybe not. Because we talked about what your favorite Christmas songs of all time are. And I did, I think, Oh Holy Night by, what do we do in July? I think I picked Oh Holy Night.
Yeah, you
by
did.
Enrique Caruso.
Correct.
And then I can't remember what the other one was. But the...
Well, it was one you discovered 5 minutes before we did the podcast. Yeah,
exactly. What's ever number one on a Google search?
Was it the Nick Lowe song?
Yes, it was. It was the
was
Nick Lowe.
Was it Christmas at the Airport?
Christmas at the Airport.
That song's great. Yes. That song's so good. And then I've come across some in the meantime, like there's this band Lowe out of Minnesota that has a Christmas song from like a decade ago. Something, Christmas is in the title of it. If you look up Low Christmas, you'll find it. I can find it right now.
Okay. All right. We got nothing better to do. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go
ahead. Low Minnesota.
I don't know why
Christmas
I egged him on, Josh. I apologize.
Your artificial friends is a populated podcast.
Just Like Christmas from 1999, 21 years ago.
Oh, cool.
And it's only tangentially related to Christmas, really, but it's like an example of another song that I've come across. I'm like, wow, I kind of like, you know, I like. Oh, got another great one. The Ventures Christmas album from 1965.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with Frosty the Snowman. And that's
They do like Silver Bells, but the intro to it.
I thought we started off the show saying Frosty the Snowman is a dipshit.
No, the animated special is shit. But
yeah, the Ventures don't talk. Okay. They don't say, happy birthday.
No, they just got that surf guitar going.
Here's what they do, though.
Frosty
the
Snowman. What else has he done today?
They start off each song, though, with a riff from something else.
Right.
I can't remember what they are, but like Jingle Bells will start off with bam bam dan da ding 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 da 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 da, like I Feel Fine by the Beatles, right? They do Walk Don't Run is the intro to Silent Night, I think, and different things like that. The album is great. It's so much fun to listen to.
Yeah, it's a good one.
One of them, the intro to the song When You Walk Into the Room. Who did that song? When you walk in the room, each time you walk into the room, can't remember the band that did that.
Why don't you look it up?
Crudola. I have to. Ventures, when you walk in the room, is it say?
Emails or phone calls.
I can't find it. We'll take all this out in editing afterward. But
it's the Searchers, okay?
Is that it? Yeah, when you walk into the room. Is that right? The Searchers?
Or Jackie DeShannon, which one?
One of the two. Anyway, it's that riff that they do, and it's great. I'm like, I never would have thought to put that in here, and it's fucking awesome. So there you go. That's my sincere Christmas recommendations for you this year.
There was a show we were watching on Netflix that, and a lot of people use this, but because she sings about Christmas at the beginning, the Joni Mitchell song River.
Right.
Starts off with, it's coming up on Christmas, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people use that for Christmas movies and things. But every time I hear that song, I'm like, it's really a powerful melancholy song. I Loves Me the Melancholy. And man, that's a good one. I sincerely love that one.
All right. So we're doing two, but let's not confuse the listeners. We're doing two shitty songs.
We're doing the ones we hate. We're going to crap on songs next week for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's let's crap be one on songs for Christmas.
Oh, here's one great thing. One of the songs that I put in that playlist for the people I did this Christmas list for. And, it was Woody Guthrie's Hanukkah Dance. So it's this 1930, song, Woody Guthrie. And, Hanukkah Dance, that kind of thing. Turns out it was mislabeled. And I just threw it into the list. Happened to listen back to it. And it was a different song. What's the name of it? It's one about a guy going off to war. Sally, don't grieve for me.
That would be a real crowd pleaser around the around the candles, everybody having a nice dinner.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Do you have any Richard Cheese Christmas music on there?
Ooh, no, I haven't. Does he have any really good stuff?
I would strongly suggest you look up Richard Cheese Jingle Bells, because he does the barking dogs version. And now here's Jingle Bells from the barking dogs. Woof, 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 woof. It's spectacular.
Awesome. I'll look it up.
It's pretty great.
All right, fellas, this has been fun.
Nice. I'm back in the holiday spirit now.
All right.
Nice. Oh. Speaking of, we're talking about the fascia.
Yeah.
I got my tool this week.
Oh, about time.
My right angle tool.
Oh.
I'm going to be putting up some gutters this week.
This week.
I hope to, because I think there's rain coming in a week.
This week, Gutterpalooza is on.
Well,
I just adopted Gutterpalooza. I just picked
it. It's nice.
So the next week will be the gutter conclusion?
God, I hope so.
Yeah, join the club.
That'd be great.
Next week on the dramatic conclusion of...
On a very special Your Artificial Friends. Larry, where can people get a hold of you?
Right between the Yule log. That didn't make any sense. I'm on, what do you call it? Instagram? The Gram. I'm on the Gram at the Larry Morgan. Also, I highly advise you to follow at Laura Chanley, because she does some delightful posting.
That's a good
call.
Like, she'll look at her social media. She's like, who the fuck is so and so? Like, I don't know. You're welcome. Got you some new friends. Josh, what about you?
JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
And you can find me at Andy Chanley on Instagram, DJ Andy Chanley on the Facebook, and Andy_Chanley on the Twitter.
And as previously mentioned, our yaffcrap.com is where you can find the Your Artificial Friends official mug. Two different sizes, by the way, depending on your beverage consumption.
Ooh. Oh, and let me be this is the first time I've ever said this. Like us on the Facebook, wherever you get your podcasts, mm-hmm. Say you like us and subscribe.
And also,
I guess that does something magic.
And yeah, also rate us the show, yeah.
Yeah, because the more you give it, well, hopefully the more stars you give it, the more people find us and join this wacky band of nitwits and ne'er-do-wells
so they can join our fascia community.
Scofflaws and young toughs.
Young toughs.
All right.
Good luck on this, Josh.
When the
people that you know don't like you.
And your friends and your relatives.
This podcast.
We are the official friends.
Nailed it.
Mary, you played that back almost exactly right.
That was awesome.
That was incredible.
I have done my job.
All right. Bye-bye, peeps.
Talk to you soon.
Have a great whatever it is. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.